another. With the name of love above all other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Good to have you with us today once again, where we talk about all things faith, evangelization, and how to reach the world for Jesus. It starts with you. It starts with your own walk with the Lord and the changes that the Lord wants to bring about in your life. Not too long ago, we talked about the New Year's resolutions and the things that we feel the Lord is calling us to. And we're not talking about money and things like that, although those things are important in life, but we're talking about character, virtue, vice, dealing with those this coming year. Go back and listen to the New Year's Day broadcast to get some information about how to make a New Year's resolution the Catholic way. Today, we're going to talk with Father Bill Baer. He's the pastor at Transfiguration. We're going to talk about, from a priest's perspective, what would they like to hear from you? What would they like to see in your life? How can you become a part of the local parish? You know, so often we hear in the press and we hear from people in conversation that, well, you know, I wish that my pastor would do this and this and that. And we say, well, I wish that my priest would fill in the blank. You know, I wish my priest would come up with this kind of homily, or I wish he would visit us in the hospital. I wish he'd do this and that. But have you ever wondered from the priest's perspective what they would really like to see out of you as Christ followers? You know, in the church today, and I got to admit, I kind of grew up like this. We have this idea that, yeah, we're Catholic and we go to church, but Father's the one that does everything. We pay him. He's the big gun, you know, and he's the one that does all the professional stuff, and he does all of the mass and everything, and we just kind of show up. But you know, when you look at what the church expects from us as laity, there's a lot of expectations on what we're going to do, not only in our own lives, but in parish life. How are we going to be involved in parish life? And how are we going to be involved in the new evangelization and getting the message of Jesus Christ out there? It is not up to your local parish priest to do all of it. This is a family, and everybody has their place in the family. Everybody has a role in the family. You know, I'm married and I have three daughters, and it would have been really difficult if every day my three daughters and my wife would have looked to me and said, well, you do everything. So what do you mean? I'm just the father in this family. I mean, I have my role, but they're saying, no, you do everything. I said, no, you guys got some roles to play in this family too, as children, as a wife, as a mother. We all come together in this family, and it's like a beautiful picture that God wants to paint. So I want you to think for a moment about your role in your parish. Are you involved in your parish? Are you involved in the running of your parish and the vision of your parish? Seems like every year we hear a message, don't we, from the pulpit. We hear a message about gifts and treasures, time, treasure, and talent, and what are you going to do? And that piece of paper is passed down the aisle, and we fill out a couple things, and we turn it in. But do we actually do it? Do we actually get involved in our local parish? Those are the things that we're going to talk about today. We've got Father Bill Baer is going to be joining us, and Father Joseph Johnson, I think, is going to join us at some point during the broadcast. He's over at Holy Family in St. Louis Park, and we're going to have just a great conversation. So don't go away. When we come back, we'll be joined by Father Bill Baer and Father Joseph Johnson, hopefully, to talk about what they would like to see from you this year. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover.
Did you know that unborn children can be killed through all 9 months of pregnancy? That's right. Abortion for any reason is legal, right up to the moment of birth. The Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand 43 years ago. The result? 58 million deaths nationwide, 600,000 deaths in Minnesota. It's a tragedy that we treat our unborn brothers and sisters this way. It's time for change. What can you do? March and make your voice heard. Attend the 43rd annual MCCL March for Life and speak up for the protection of unborn children and their mothers. They are one of us and they need you. The march is at noon on Friday, January 22nd at the State Capitol in St. Paul. Come to the Capitol at noon on January 22nd for 1 hour and March for Life. For more information, visit mccl.org. That's mccl.org.
When you see love in the minor places, seek no more the heavenly signs.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, talking about today what a parish priest might expect from you. You know, when Sunday morning rolls around, you get up, you get your coffee, and maybe you read the paper, whatever you might end up doing. You got to get the kids together, and you're going to go to Mass at 10 o'clock, and you get everyone together, you drive over, everyone's got the earbuds in, listening to their own music. You get out of the car, and wouldn't you know it, as you walk in the back of the building, Father is making his way down the altar, and the ushers are trying to squeeze you in somewhere, and you just barely made it. And then you go through Mass, and maybe your mind is somewhere else, and you might even leave Mass early. We're going to talk about that today, huh? We're going to talk about leaving Mass early, and you go back home, and this constitutes your faith. There's so much more in preparation for not only Sunday Mass, but there's so much more in terms of what's expected of you in the life of a parish by the church and by your local pastor. I want to introduce to you, he's no stranger to the Rediscover Hour. He's the pastor out at Transfiguration Parish in Oakdale, and he was the former rector of the St. John Vianney College Seminary over at St. Thomas. And that's a good friend of ours, Father Bill Baer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be with you again.
It's always great to have you on the show, and I love talking to you about issues like this because I know one thing, and that is you're not going to beat around the bush. You're going to tell us the way it is.
Well, I sure hope to have a good, lively program with you today.
It's good. You know, so often, Father, as I said in our intro, we hear people say, well, I wish my pastor would, we can fill in the blank, have a better homily, visit our family in the hospital. I wish he would give me spiritual direction. I wish that, you know, it goes on and on and on. The life of a priest is intense, and it's very, very busy. Before we get into what your expectations as a priest are on the flock, just give us a little synopsis of what does your life look like on a weekly basis?
It's a good question because many people only see the priest, say, at Sunday Mass, maybe one or two other special occasions like a baptism or a wedding. But much of what a priest does cannot be scripted ahead of time. Just set up your agenda for the day and then watch and see what really happens. And that's beautiful. In fact, you mentioned earlier that I was over at the St. John Vianney College Seminary's rector. When I switched over to being a parish pastor, one of the big changes is that so much that happens in a parish cannot be programmed. It's not like having a semester schedule or a calendar. People are born, people die, people have emergencies, people get sick in the hospital. And so a priest needs to bring together a set of regularly scheduled events as well as those special needs. And that's part of the excitement of being a parish pastor.
So on a weekly basis, and I was a former Protestant pastor before coming back into the Catholic Church, so I have somewhat of an idea. Outside of that Sunday homily, well, what would you do?
Well, much of what I do is respond to calls, questions, requests that come in. Again, everything from a special emergency visit to a hospital, as well as someone saying, Father, I've got a difficult situation in my family. I need to talk to you about it.
Right.
And I'll tell you a little secret about parish work. The key is to have a great secretary who gets all those phone calls and has a sense of whether or not this is a true emergency or perhaps someone who would like to sell us some religious articles from somewhere around the country. A good secretary can screen those things out, and I've got a great one.
Oh, that's fantastic. Having a good secretary will help you in dealing with, in a priest's life, like you said, so much is spontaneous in a priest's life. You wake up in the morning, and you've got your three meetings you're going to have, and all of that is shot because you got to go to the hospital. You might have to go to a morgue. There might be a crisis in someone's life. The archbishop may call you down for some meeting, whatever it might be.
Well, Jeff, I'm sure you and many of the readers know what it's like. You go to the doctors and you're told it's a 10 o'clock appointment. And for some reason, 10 o'clock comes and goes and the doctor isn't ready to see me. And then when I became a priest, I understood why. Many times as a priest, you might have an appointment technically from 9 to 9:30 and you're at 9:29 thinking, okay, I think we've wrapped this up. And only at 9:29 does the person drop the big bombs. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the 9:30 appointment's going to have to wait just a couple more minutes. So that's a bit of what it's like as a doctor and as a priest.
If you just joined us, we're talking with Father Bill Baer, and along with Father Bill Baer, we have Father Joseph Johnson. And come on up to the mic, Father. It's good to have you with us also today.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
We're talking about, we're going to get into, what are the priest's expectations on the flock, on the laity, in terms of how does this become a fruitful, powerful, effective parish in the Twin Cities. But before we get into that, Father, we're talking about just the busyness of your schedule, because I know some people will say, well, Father, besides that homily, that three-minute homily you gave on Sunday, what else do you do?
Well, my parishioners would never accuse me of a three-minute homily, maybe a 30-minute. But yes, I did actually have once a parishioner say to me, you know, other than that 1 hour Sunday morning, what do you do all week? And I tried to convince him that I would get up at least by 11 a.m. so I could do the crossword before lunch. But no, the Lord, as Father Baer is saying, finds plenty of ways for filling the time and being open to the Holy Spirit and flexible with whatever the needs that are presented. But especially this time of year is always so beautiful with the great feasts, but also with the ways that there's so many needs that sometimes come to the surface at times like this.
I remember the days when I was a Protestant pastor. Oftentimes I'd have a meeting at 7 or 8 at night, and I would be going home, and I'd get a phone call. And it was, I had to go to the emergency room with some family. And sometimes I didn't come home till 2, 3 in the morning after that. And after I came back into the Catholic Church, I think it was our Sunday Visitor did an article on it, and they interviewed my daughter, who was at that time, I think, in fifth grade. And they said, what do you like most about being Catholic? And her answer was interesting. She said, my dad is home in the evenings. And that's very, very true, is that I was available 24/7 to the church, but I was also married. And there was that bit of conflict there. And someone asked my wife, is your husband going to become a Catholic priest when he comes into the Catholic Church? And she said, I hope not, because we want him at home. And you are totally given over to the church, both of you, and that is an incredible commitment. And I want to say thank you on behalf of all of our listeners for your commitment to the body of Christ. Shifting gears, we're talking today about, from your perspective as parish priests, what is your expectation upon the laity, and in terms of not only their own spiritual growth, Sunday liturgy, but the life of the parish. And maybe we could break those down a little bit and hit them one at a time. In terms of general expectations that you have as a parish priest when it comes to the laity, in terms of their own spiritual growth, what would those be?
Well, you mentioned just a moment ago about the vocation of a priest, and it's the absolutely important starting point in this topic you're just bringing up, to remember the vocation of each member of the parish, husbands, fathers, parents, and those who are single, but the universal vocation of holiness. It's very tempting for us as priests to forget that and to say, gosh, I need some help. I need a lot of busy bees. I need a lot of workers. And so what if this husband or wife perhaps isn't taking the time with their family members, perhaps ignoring some of their fundamental duties as a mother, as a father, as a husband or a wife? You know, it became popular at a certain point in the church's history to say what we really want the lady to do is all kinds of stuff, committees, join. That's a sign of a great Catholic. Well, maybe. But every once in a while, I'm sure Father Johnson would agree, you see someone and you say to yourself, they're never at home. Mm-hmm. They are a mother or a husband or a father, but let's not confuse mere busyness with the call of the church. The starting point is, of course, to be faithful to your vocation, which can include something as basic as faithfully coming to Sunday Mass. Mm-hmm. We've gotten away from that and thought, oh, that's just child's play. No, that's the start of the laity's active participation in the life of the church.
Father Johnson?
Well, I think Father Baer hit the nail on the head as well, referring to the duties of your state in life. You know, prayer has to be the beginning. The Sunday Mass, of course, the chief moment of prayer is a community with faith, with Christ nourishing us with his body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. But then even daily prayer, you know, I challenged my parishioners to pray 8 times a day, and they all looked at me like, whoa. I said, no, it'll take you less than 5 minutes. You know, if you think about it, first thing in the morning when you wake up, your knees hit the floor and you say, thank you, God, for the gift of another day. Now give me the grace I need to serve you well. And then you're off to brush your teeth. You know, then grace before meals, grace after meals, Thanksgiving after meals, 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now we're up to 7. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, your knees hit the floor. You say, thank you, God, for this day. I'm sorry for ways that maybe I wasn't as good a witness of the gospel today. Give me strength and rest so that tomorrow I can serve you better. You know, and that's it. You've prayed 8 times a day and it's cost you less than 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And yet that continual is kind of keeping the Lord involved in our day, you know, without becoming contemplative monks when we're supposed to be doing the chores around the house. I had someone once in a prayer group that was so proud telling me, Father, now I'm doing, you know, 2 holy hours a day. I'm like, well, that's beautiful, but what about your kids? Who's helping them with the homework? Who's helping your spouse with the chores around the house? Mm-hmm. You know, all of those things, you've got to be attentive to those. And that's why I think St. Francis de Sales and the Introduction to the Devout Life is such a great spiritual classic for people to think about, where he says that holiness for a wife and a mother isn't the same as holiness for a cloistered nun. You know, they have to find that in the midst of where God has placed us in the world, how do we grow in holiness there, not trying to live somebody else's vocation.
Right. So when it comes to the life of the parish and the involvement of the laity, you're saying that you're not expecting everybody to be surrounding this parish 24/7 and at the parish, that really their ministry is at their home, at work, and there's a coming and going into the physical parish life, and there's connections and relationships there. That brings me to something that I was thinking about the other day. There was a Harvard study that was done over 75 years with over 700 men. Half of them were Harvard grads. The other half were blue-collar workers in the Boston area. And it was a study on happiness. And the conclusion of the study, there's still about 18 guys in their 90s that are still, they're studying. And they would take their blood every year. They would, their blood pressure. They would get their work record. They'd sit down and interview them. And the conclusion that they came to on how to attain happiness was 2 things. One is that community and deep friendships were really, really important. And the second was that if alcoholism isn't the root of all evil, it certainly is close. Those were the 2 conclusions that they came to. Talk to me a little bit about this idea of community. It seems to me that in years past, the physical church itself was more of a community center for people to come around, to live their lives, their Catholic life, and to learn. Has that changed in the last 25, 30, 40 years?
Well, of course, the sociologists have said, the most famous book about it is Bowling Alone, about how Americans don't go and join bowling leagues anymore. They don't join anything. Life is busy, etc. But the result of that, of course, is that crucial element of building up the shared life of the church, it's harder to do. Just ask any priest. If you want to have a meeting on a Wednesday night compared to 10 or 20 years ago, fewer people go out. They just say, I get home late, I have to cook up some supper for the kids, etc. Now, here's what I think is the heart of this, and that is that there must be in the activities, the participation by men, women, husbands, wives, there must be some spiritual rootedness to it. You know, remember the old-fashioned name Altar and Rosary Society? That wasn't an accidental name. Yes, the women might have been very busy around the altar, cleaning the sanctuary and all their projects, but it was Altar and Rosary, that the prayer, the spiritual dimension. Otherwise, getting involved in church can be a highway to gossip, to all sorts of anxiety, to resentments, and so forth. We as priests don't simply want busy bees joining up with things. There must be a real spiritual component in that community, as you call it. That's the payoff, to have brotherhood, sisterhood, to have community in a parish, but in Christ with the necessary spiritual ingredients.
Mm-hmm. I think that community aspect has changed, Jeff, also because we live in a commuter society. You know, at a certain point, maybe back in the 1980s, there's a big trend in parishes to build gathering spaces and wonderful places. And I kept thinking to myself, wow, how did we ever survive without these? And of course, the answer is the neighborhood was the gathering space.
Sure.
You didn't have to have a special place at church to get to know one another because you already knew one another. You were part of the same community of a neighborhood. And then your worship on Sunday and your participation, your collaboration in the work of the church was just flowing from that. But now we commute everywhere. We commute for work. We commute for school. We commute for these other activities and for shopping. And so church is just one more thing that we commute for. And so we're jumping around. And so now we have to create community in the parish, whereas the church used to already be that focal point of community.
So we're talking about being intentional about building community. And what are the expectations from a priest's perspective on building that community? I don't think that most priests would say, well, I'm happy if people just show up on Sunday and go home, but they want to build some sense of community there. Particularly, I'm thinking of new people coming in on Sunday. You know, would they be coming into a community that is welcoming, or could they come there for two or three years with nobody greeting them?
Well, you certainly don't want to put everyone into the same box. I know it sounds like a stereotype, but many times what a man wants to do as he gets involved with a parish could be very different than what his wife does. Older people, younger people. The classic case would be many a fellow who doesn't consider himself all that spiritually a giant is very happy to help fix the plumbing, is to help organize a campaign. And we as priests need to make sure that we send that signal out that says, indeed, the body of Christ has many needs and also beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit, and to work hard at teasing that out. There are some really remarkable people who join, and they think they've got nothing to give. And someone's going to have that conversation. There was a remarkable priest around here, a longtime pastor at St. Charles Borromeo Parish, Father Frank Kiddock, and he insisted on meeting with each and every new parishioner. And among other things, he wanted to know whether they could help with that plumbing, that electricity. What could they do to contribute? And that simple signal from the pastor saying, I'm paying attention to you. I'm listening to you. I want you to have an active role here. That's a shocker to some people that we really care about that, but we do.
If you just joined us, we're talking with Father Bill Baer over Transfiguration and Father Joseph Johnson at Holy Family in St. Louis Park. Father, you had something you were going to mention?
I would say another kind of aspect of the community challenge in the life of the church right now is sometimes, Father Baer is talking about people joining the parish, sometimes people join multiple parishes. Mm. Oh, I'm a member of this, and that parish. Like, well, no, what does that mean? I mean, you know,
it means they're shopping.
Right. Well, and it's sort of like, you know, your kids say, well, Mom and Dad, we're going to be home for supper tonight. But, you know, Thanksgiving, I think we're going to spend at the neighbors. And Christmas, we're going to be down the street at our other classmate from school. You know, it's a sort of a bigamy or a polygamy spiritually, instead of seeing the church not simply institutional, but as a family of faith. And we call our priests Father, because they exercise a spiritual fatherhood over a community, a family of faith. And so we need to kind of recognize the realities that go along with that and not just kind of take what we want and the church becomes simply a service provider.
Right. Right. Yeah, and I think that that's very true. We're going to take a break. When we come back, fathers, I want to talk about, from your perspective, as you look out at your parish, what are some of the areas of need that this goes beyond people being involved in their own vocation as mothers and fathers at home, but in terms of the actual parish itself, all the way from the liturgy to the CCD program, parishes that have a school attached to it, the physical plant itself. What are opportunities for laity to get in, to get involved? And what about qualifications in preparation for some of these? I think about CCD class, for example, or sacramental prep. So often we hear the announcements at some time of the year, almost a begging sound of, we need people for this. And I want to talk a little bit about that. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment talking about your parish and how to get involved.
Rediscover. What a time for appliance savings from Minnesota specialist at Borner Stellion. Sometimes I tell you about some hot offers while I talk fast, and then I worry about whether you can understand me and what I'm trying to say. So, if you want to shop from all the very best brands, enjoy support from start to finish from true specialists, and get a low price guarantee, then choose Warner Stellion to be your appliance specialist. Go to Warner Stellion by January 4th for huge appliance savings, or shop warnerstellion.com and find the location nearest you.
The sponsors you hear every day on Relevant Radio play an important part in keeping our broadcast on the air here in the Twin Cities area. As a listener, you can help by reaching out to our sponsors first if you're in need of their goods or services. Let them know you appreciate their commitment to Catholic radio through their sponsorship. We're thankful for our growing audience and the team of sponsors who help bring you our programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at AM 1330 Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you. So Sunday you get up and you go to church and you walk in the into the gathering space before you go into the sanctuary. And everything seems to be operating just fine. Someone greeted you at the door. There's ushers, there's liturgists, and there's musicians, and everything's going just fine. Someone even put these salt pellets out on the sidewalk. But how did it all get done? Who did it? And do you have a role in the running of a parish and the ministry of a parish, both internally and externally? We're talking with Father Bill Baer from Transfiguration, Father Joseph Johnson over at Holy Family in St. Louis Park. Welcome back, gentlemen. You know, there's a story that goes like this, and I think it's a great story. It's a guy that he visits a power plant, and he goes and he visits the power plant, and he gets about an hour tour, the latest in all the equipment, and they are producing so much power and so efficiently, and they get this great big tour, and the people are blown away. And at the end, they say to the tour guide, "Well, I have a question. Well, how does this power get out to the community and to the people out there?" And the guy that's leading the tour says, "Excuse me, I don't think I understand what you're asking. Well, how does the power that you're generating here get way out there to the suburbs?" And the guy says, "Well, oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't explain. The power generated here is only for here. It's not enough to go anywhere else. It's only for here." That's one idea of a parish, is that everything we do is only for us. The other is that what we do, there's enough for us, but enough to go out and to be salt and light in the community. Is that a good description of really what we're called to do?
Well, it's not just a good description. It's really Vatican II's vision for the laity, that the primary role of the laity is to sanctify the temporal order, as it was phrased. That is, with all that we receive in Christ through the sacraments, through the life of faith and of the church, the laity are to go into each of their situations, the worlds of commerce, of politics, of the neighborhood, of families, and to bring Christ into those places. And we as pastors need to be careful not to assume, well, that's just chopped liver. No, that's really the heart of it. And to make sure that even, again, our very active participating parishioners recognize their primary call is ite missa est, to go out there and to sanctify the temporal order, and to make sure we as priests respect that and honor that.
So then Pope Francis calls the church a hospital, a place where we come together. Are there other metaphors that we should be thinking about when we look at our own local parish besides it's a hospital where the wounded are healed?
Well, one of the things I'm convinced of is it's meant to be a place with multiplication. That is, as a priest, and I'm sure Father Johnson would agree, we always have an eye out as pastors for others who might not simply add more stuff to the parish activities. We friendly call them a good idea people. And Father, here's a nice idea, and you're going to have to do all of it, and it's going to add more to your busy schedule, Father, but don't you think this is a great idea? What's music to our ears is someone saying, Father, I'm happy to help shoulder the load. And there are many parishioners who have extraordinary leadership gifts of all kinds. And when a priest finds those, and when he can actually say, would you please help me not just to add more activities, but you yourself to help, to lead, to foster. It could be anything from, like you said, teaching and helping with the catechetical efforts. It could be some very practical issues. But we are looking for leaders. A good, healthy priest does not want to manage, micromanage, or hog the whole scene. We want to find a team that can truly share the load.
And that load is both within the parish, all those things you were discussing about those who help with the Sunday liturgies and the like, but really to then go out from there, you know, because unlike the power plant in your story, we have the Holy Eucharist. We have mm-hmm. the risen Lord Jesus who is present in our midst. That's power, mm-hmm. and that's power that can go anywhere. I was talking to one of my priest friends from another diocese, and he was in a parish, and they were spending months and months and months and months of just hours of committee meetings shaping their mission statement for the parish. And he shook his head and he said to me, well, don't they remember? Jesus already gave us the only mission statement we need. The risen Lord Jesus bore for ascending to the Father said, go and make disciples of everyone. Uh-huh. That's our mission statement.
Yeah, let's improve on that, huh?
So I've actually, on different bulletin boards that are on the parish, I've put this, go make volunteers of all nations, and then crossed out volunteer and put disciples
that's
above
great.
It. Because too
it.
Often, that's what we focus on. I need a volunteer for this.
Yeah.
I need a volunteer for that. And then, oh, we're still short. Can somebody else? And it's a very childish
it's
way.
It's beneath us, really.
Exactly. If you see yourself as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, then you're going to be looking for ways to put the gifts that God has given you into service.
Well, you bring up a good point, Father Johnson, that idea of what is our goal as a church? Is it just to run week to week the liturgy and to get the building clean and our kids go through sacramental prep? Or is the goal really to make disciples of all the nations, of all the people that we come in contact with, and is our parish set up in such a way where we are a disciple-making parish? Can people come here as a visitor and in a sense, come out the other end as a disciple of Christ, or will they just come to a place where, well, they have Mass, and not that Mass is just, but you know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's the thing with, when dioceses go through strategic planning things like our diocese did a number of years ago, and I think that's always something bishops have to be looking at and reviewing. Sometimes we just study the demographics and we see the trends going down, less people going to church, less students in Catholic schools, and they say, okay, well, we need to close this many parishes and all that, so we meet the numbers, we're realistic about that. Well, I'd actually go another step beyond that and say, yes, we need to be realistic, but what are we doing to reverse the trend? That's real strategic planning, is not meeting a downward trend where it's at.
Sure.
It's maybe taking a step further in cutting back in order to have dynamic parishes, not just parishes where we're treading water, where the priests are just going through all of the things that have to be done, but don't have enough bandwidth in order to reverse the trend. And that's what we need. We need dynamic parishes where the priests and people together, the people who have, through a life of daily prayer, through a knowledge of their faith, come to a mature discipleship, mm-hmm. that then they go forward with Father and reverse that trend.
You mentioned going with Father. That's an important point. The what is the role, from your perspective, what is the role of the parish priest in the success of a parish, and what is the role of the laity in that success as a parish priest? Are you the CEO? Are you the one that calls the shots? Is it your vision, or is it something that everyone comes together?
Well, to use Father Johnson's phrasing, and of course it's the Lord's phrasing of making disciples, this is it. And there is no way a pastor or priest can ask people to go off and become a disciple of Christ, etc., in some theoretical work. Discipleship, by its very nature, involves personal formation. And of course, we as Catholics believe that Christ is the disciple maker of this or that individual parishioner through the Mass, through the sacraments, through the teaching of the Church, and through the spiritual life. But there is no shortcut. The pastor must be at least invested personally with some of the parishioners in order to disciple them. And of course, we as Catholics, we're not familiar with that language. It's part and parcel of certain other groups, but there is no shortcut around it. I have a particular vision and a particular approach. It might be better or worse, but at my parish, I need a circle of people who say, let's move with that. Let's go with that. And they're not going to get it just by reading a book over here or getting on a website. There's no shortcut. I have to take time with them. And again, only Christ is the perfect disciple maker. We priests are more than fallible, but we priests cannot ignore that personal interaction. And it doesn't have to be cozy. It doesn't have to be, these are my chummy little friends. But a priest must look around his parish and say, who do I devote my time to in order to strengthen them, not to become some sort of robots dependent on the priest, but to be strengthened that they can then in turn become leaders in their own right. As Father Johnson said, this is a very different vision than just how are we going to just manage the volunteer needs? How are we going to keep the cuts from increasing? This is a very radical approach, and as priests, we have a real part in that.
The CEO of a local Fortune 500 company once said at a business luncheon, he said, some people, or maybe it's most people, fear disruption more than destruction. And I think that's something that we as people of faith can think a lot about too. Parish life goes this way, that way. It's always been done this way. Well, why? And does that still serve a need today? Are we willing to really let there be an openness to the Holy Spirit and say, let's try something different? Because if we're doing things the way we've always done them and the returns get smaller and smaller and smaller, well, then maybe that's a sign from God. By their fruits, you know them, Jesus said, that we need to take a different approach to this. And that's where you need that openness. Father needs an openness to listen to the ideas that the Holy Spirit might be giving him through collaborators. The people need to listen to Father because, as Father Baer said, you know, we're all fallible priests. But sometimes the Lord has given a particular priest to a particular place because that priest has gifts or a vision that that place needs in order to flourish. And it will look different than his predecessor and it'll look different than his successor. But for this moment in this way, that's what God is trying to do.
That says something about the life of a parish, doesn't it? And that is, you don't look at just that year or that month, but a particular parish has a personality over time with various priests that have come there and the laity and leading that, and they have... Do parishes have particular charisms, one over another?
Yes, but that must be qualified in at least two ways, and one perhaps is more familiar to us, and that is that every parish is a part of what we call the local church. In this case, for example, the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And frankly, each parish should look for its charism within what God has called this archdiocese. I'm so proud to be a part of this archdiocese, which by its very name involves missionaries, St. Paul, the great evangelist. And we, every parish within this archdiocese, for example, shouldn't go off and come up with its own mission statement without saying, What does it mean to have been literally named after one of the great saints with this great long tradition of missionary endeavor? The second thing, though, that I would say, too, is this, and that is that sometimes it's amazing that within any given parish, folks can believe that this extraordinary, very long-standing tradition that we've had at our parish for, it's been at least for 5 years. this is just like holy writ, and we dare not change. Sometimes we all get a little used to what our particular generation in our particular parish got comfortable with. And before long, we can have what some people have called theological bell bottoms. You know, mm-hmm. We're sort of showing a certain period of time with taste and style and preference. And that is part of what's good about always having the next generation coming along and even having another pastor come along, just to make sure that what we call our charism and so forth is truly united with Christ's calling and is united with the larger church's calling.
You know, as I travel, I get people that'll come up to me at a speaking engagement, for example, and they'll say, well, I really want to get involved in my local church, but I'm not sure exactly how to get involved in the church. As the two of you look at your parishes and the parishes you've been involved in the past, what areas of church life would you say are so key that we really need the right people there? We need the right people doing X, Y, Z. And I'm thinking myself of one that I have noticed myself, which is RCIA, is that obviously Father can't do all of the RCIA prep, which is the process where new believers come into the church. But it's positions like that where we need mature people who are serious, devoted to the church, faithful to the church in those key positions. What are some of those key places?
Well, I think, you know, it depends. Obviously, anything teaching the faith as RCIA is something you have to have really good formation. And of course, we're so blessed in this archdiocese to have the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute that you, Jeff, did so much good work with. That's really cultivated a whole new generation of well-formed laity to be placed out in their parishes to help their pastors in that way. But, you know, sometimes you're struggling with something much more worldly, something like, how are we going to pay the bills? You know, this and the other. And God has placed in your parish a guy who's a really good accountant or a really good business administrator and some of that. And their gifts that you wouldn't say, you know, are these gifts of teaching the faith, but yet their gifts are going to be the ones that keep the doors open so that the faith can be taught, you know. So I think you just always have to, every single person has gifts to contribute towards the mission of the church and to find the ways to do that. In my parish, what we do every fall is what we call a discipleship fair. And we have every group that's in the parish. We don't just put them under the name of ministries, because ministry can kind of get into that kind of clericalizing the laity where everything's a ministry. No, they're more apostolates. That's how the church speaks about it. It's apostolic activity, whereas ministry is more, you know, regarding the sacraments. Mm-hmm. But we have about 50 different groups that after every Sunday Mass, they have their little booths as people get their coffee and donuts, and they can wander around the hall and see there's this and there's that and the other, and to be able to say, maybe my gifts kind of align with this. I'm not a good public speaker, or I don't know the faith as well as I should, so I don't think I'm going to be teaching RCA. But here's something I can do. I can go to the soup kitchen once a month. Mm-hmm. I can do that. I can help fix a meal for the homeless, you know, and just let people plug in that way. But I think what we have to do is keep teaching the laity that what discipleship means is discovering how God created you, the gifts he gave you, and how to put those into service.
Sometimes the important issue of the sacraments, of worship, of liturgy, touches on this. Again, the priest is the chief liturgist of his parish, and that's not always seen that way, and that's one of the most important things to get clear. Again, not that the priest can do it all, But one of the things that's so important about sacred worship, the Mass, and all of the sacraments in our life of worship, is to recognize that this has a certain shape to it. And we might have now a whole generation that needs to recover. And really, it follows through on what Father Johnson just said, to say, let's not just sort of be sloppy about this. Let's say, what is the crucial role of people who are working with the music, working with the different services of lecturing and so forth? But I have seen over and over again, this is an area that's crucial to get right in the parish. And when it's working right, when people see what their part is, oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful spirit. But that's an important one to get clear.
And there are a couple of challenges with that. One is the way we've always done things, whether that's 5 years or 50 years. And the other is my preferences. Well, I like it this way. And if we can use as our common ground, what does Holy Mother Church ask of us?
Mm-hmm.
Then all of those difficulties, those tensions, those conflicts resolve. Because it's not about what I want versus what you want. It's not about, well, we've always done it this way. What are we all here as loyal sons and daughters of Holy Mother Church? And this is where the priest has a particular role to keep himself informed of what the church is teaching, as documents from the Vatican come out, as instructions from the archdiocese come out. You know, keep us with that big picture and how to implement that. Now we're in the Jubilee Year of Mercy, you know, and I think, sadly, if you were to do a random poll of people coming out of Sunday Mass in this archdiocese, I bet you an outright majority of people would go, huh? That's their response to an extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy.
Yeah.
Huh? What do you mean? What's that? Oh, yeah, maybe I heard something about that. It doesn't resonate. It isn't making a practical difference. Whereas all of our effectiveness, the fruitfulness of our programs, I think, is when we are tied and closely in sync with what Holy Mother Church is telling us.
Yeah. It almost seems like there's a need in the parish for, and maybe a liturgist is this in some ways, but it's like a traffic cop that is telling everyone who is involved in so many different apostolates and ministries in the parish, hey guys, something big is happening way above our pay scale here. And that is, the whole year is now dedicated towards mercy, and that they are responsible for making sure that everybody knows this in the parish.
And this is the glory of the Catholic faith. We've always had this beautiful, beautiful, rich sense of seasons, mm-hmm. that Lent is different than Pentecost, is different than Advent. And unfortunately, we live in a culture in which people want to have their fresh strawberries 12 months of the year. There's no variation. But the Year of Mercy, as Father Johnson said so well, is a classic opportunity for us to say, when we have something special as Catholics, let's shout it out and let's make sure we're treating it as something special.
A couple of last questions here. One is, what do you think that most people misunderstand about priests? When they come to Mass and you've been in their parish for 8-9 years or whatever, what do you think they misunderstand about the priesthood?
I think one of the things that we have to get past is, with priests moving more frequently than they used to, is the loss of this sense of spiritual fatherhood. You know, because when you talk to young people, young guys about the priesthood, it's like, okay, I can be a husband and father like Dad. I know what that looks like, or I can be a Martian. You know, the priesthood is just completely outer space, something different.
It's like when you see your local priest at the grocery store, you eat too?
Exactly. Whereas instead, what we need to do is we need to see there's, on the natural level, this beautiful vocation of fatherhood, and then the same thing on the supernatural level, this vocation of fatherhood. And then for a young man, it goes, oh, okay, so it's not this completely different thing. I can begin to discern better. So that's not just about vocations, but I think in general, the people of God need to understand the priest as a spiritual father and not as a service provider. And my parish is another one of the franchises, you know,
right.
that I can go and get my McNuggets here and my filet of fish there. And, you know, it's all the same. You know, no, this sense of spiritual family.
Father Johnson says it well. If we have a consumer mentality, then we could do 20 times as much as we're doing at the church. People would still be unsatisfied, still angry, still complaining. The call, as he said and as our Lord said, is to be disciples.
Right.
And priests and laity, all of us working as disciples, it's a beautiful thing that can happen.
I like
in a
that. That will change a church.
It will. I had someone ask me, a group of women that pray for priests, you know, Father, what can we do to support our priests? And I said this, ask your priest to help you become a saint.
That's
all right?
Good.
Your priest isn't there to make sure that you have enough coffee and donuts after Mass. Your priest isn't there to make sure that you like the music. Your priest is there, sent by God, to make sure you become a saint.
That's great. I love that. That's so good.
And if you want to help your priests, set aside all the little things and ask your priest, Father, help us to become saints.
Father, you said something in the break that was good. We only have about 2 minutes left, but you said you love it when people come up and say, I'm available, I'm here, what do you need?
That's right. The old saying is true as always. God doesn't so much care about our abilities as about our availability. Mm-hmm. And every one of us, priests and laity, like, if we make ourselves available to God as disciples, there's nothing that God can't do.
I have to ask you both the quick question, and it's not a long response, but I've always wanted to ask the priests, when at the end of Mass you see people receiving the Eucharist and heading for the door, what goes through your mind, real quick?
I'm glad that they were at least there.
Okay.
And may the Lord Jesus in their hearts help them.
You will be a good politician. Father Bear.
I agree with Father Johnson. Seriously, we are glad they're there.
Sure.
My father always left early. He had a bad leg and was really afraid of getting run over by all the traffic.
Yep.
I do not judge people. They have their reasons.
Oh, I like that. No, I do. I appreciate that. And you know, you never know what someone is facing that day and why they might, you know. So I appreciate both of you so much talking to us and kind of giving us an insight into the life of a priest and building the parish and some of your desires. And we want to remember to pray for you. How can we pray for you, Father?
That one Hail Mary for each and every priest, it will change us, it will preserve us. The Blessed Mother loves her priests. Go to Mary for us, please.
Fantastic. And Father?
And that we might always be open to the Holy Spirit guiding us, and that we might say yes with a generous and joyful heart.
You've got it. We've been talking with Father Bill Baer and Father Joseph Johnson about the priesthood and the relationship with the parish. Just want to conclude by encouraging you today to really respond to the call of God in your life, both vocationally, but also your responsibilities as they relate to your giftings in your local parish. And be one of those who's an encourager, not one who tears down, but one who builds up, and above all, make disciples. Make disciples. We'll be back in just a moment. We've got more to tell you about what's happening in the Twin Cities. This is the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
Hi, hon. Our new insurance rates came in the mail today. They went up 50%.
What? We can't afford that. What is the name of that website we used last year? They were great.
InsureEasy.net. I have already signed us up for a personal phone appointment. A licensed professional will call us at our scheduled time.
So we don't have to call them?
Nope. They call us. No time wasted on hold, and we can compare our current plan with all available plans to find the one that best fit our needs and our budget.
Can we enroll over the phone?
Yes, or online. They even have a Spanish-speaking option.
That is so easy. I'm going to tell all my friends.
Yep. InsureEasy.net. They have us covered.
InsureEasy.net. Real people helping you find and understand the best health plan at the lowest possible cost. InsureEasy.net is a Catholic-owned and operated company.
InsureEasy.net. They have us covered.
InsureEasy.net.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, joined by Paul Sadek.
And that's me.
We've been talking about the church and how beautiful it is and what a wonderful family. And by the look of things on my piece of paper here, there's a lot going on in the Twin Cities.
A lot of opportunities. All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to the next Theology on Tap series. It's presented by the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults. connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith. Series is held Wednesday evenings, January 6th through February 3rd at O'Gara's in St. Paul. Social hour, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Speaker begins at 7:30. This Wednesday, January 13th, come hear Leah Jacobson, founder and president at the Guiding Start Project. She'll talk about new feminism. For more information, visit cathedralstpaul.org/CYA.
You are invited to join in the Prayer Vigil for Hope, Healing, and Mercy at St. Mary's Chapel at the St. Paul Seminary on Thursday, January 21st. For over 40 years, legalized abortion has left many men, women empty, confused, and longing to be whole again. This vigil is open to all and is a special invitation to those who have been hurt by abortion. Mass begins at 7 p.m. and is followed by Eucharistic adoration from 8 to 10 p.m. The vigil concludes with the Divine Mercy Chaplet and closing prayer. Parking is free in the seminary parking lot. For more information, visit www.archspm.org or contact Sonia Flomo in the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life at 651-291-4515.
You're invited to the annual Prayer Service for Life, 10:30 on Friday, January 22nd at the Cathedral of St. Paul. This prayer service commemorates the millions of lives lost to abortion and the many women and men wounded by abortion's aftermath. Immediately following the prayer service, we'll walk to the state capitol for the MCCL March for Life rally. For more information, contact the Office for Marriage, Family, and Life, 651-291-4488, or visit archspm.org.
St. Helena's Men's Breakfast will be held on Saturday, January 23rd at 8:30 a.m. in Rowan Hall. Guest speaker will be Deacon Daniel Gannon of the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity. The cost is $5 for the breakfast, and complimentary tickets are available for those who have difficulty paying. Men are also invited to attend Mass at 8 a.m. in the church. Call for reservations, 612-729-7321. That's 612-729-7321.
And coming up next week?
Coming up on the next Rediscover Hour, we're going to talk with Coach Caruso over at St. Thomas. We're all going to talk to him about faith and football, and we're going to visit with one very special running back who has got the attention of America today, who feels he's called to become a priest. We'll talk to Jordan. That's all next on the Rediscover Hour. Until then, go out there and make disciples.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.